from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
It seems like a good idea after you've had a few.
Railway station.
Yeah, that's this show.
Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio.
It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes until somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
Brought to you by Finley Roofing. We've got you covered. Atlanta's most trusted and recommended roofer.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what's going on? It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, happy Monday. Coming off of an incredible weekend, lots of stuff going on. Mike and I were saying we don't know how much of the Olympics you actually watch, but apparently people are watching. We'll tell you about the Falcons as they had a great practice up there at Secular High School. Sexinger, thank you. High school over the weekend. Today they are off. Tomorrow they're back at it. Friday, want to remind you guys, we'll be down at Mercedes-Benz during the show. Practice is going to start at 6. I think the gates open at 5. And, Mike, that's going to be that practice where you can pay $5 to come in.
Right.
It goes to Emory.
Emory and Children's Healthcare. They have a lot of – it's a really cool event. And for a lot of folks, again, it's not like the Falcons are trying to keep you out. It's just if you were up there last spring or last summer and now you see where it's at, all the new stuff they've added, there was just really no room to get people in and out. Just to do it effectively and safely. So next year we'll be back to watching folks up on the hill watching the Falcons.
All right. As we get the show started today, and we got a lot to get to, guys. With the NFL being back, a lot of stuff happening over the weekend. Mike and I finished on Friday up at Hooters. Thank you guys for coming through. We expect to see you guys again on Wednesday and Thursday, or Wednesday, should I say Tuesday, Wednesday. But the big thing was the quarterback contracts, which we'll get to and talk more about. But after dropping the first two games of the series to the Mets, and by the way, Friday night was a debacle, okay? It was ugly.
Felt like that was a low point, right?
It couldn't get any worse. It really was. And I happened to be at Cigar Bar, Mike, with Alex and our buddy Steve, and we were sitting there with about 8 or 9 other guys, and everybody, Charlie Morton's just giving it up. And we're sitting there like, what is going on? Mm. And it just felt, like you said, like a low point. But maybe the high point are the two games that they were able to salvage in this series, right, and tie it up. But more importantly, the hitting. I mean, you got home runs from guys that we've been begging to hit this season and begging for these power numbers. So here's the deal. This is where I'm at with the trade deadline looming. It is tomorrow, guys. The competitor in me, Mike, wants to not give up. And when I say that, I mean I don't want to not make a move. I would love to try to improve this team. But the reality is, who are you going to go get? Who makes us that much better under the circumstances that we now find ourselves under? And, Mike, I think just waiting and getting guys back healthy and seeing how this plays out is more than what I think, you know, most people want to do. I think most people want to go make a move and go get an outfielder, a pitcher, or whatever. Right. I just don't know if there's a guy that you can go get that makes that difference for
us. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be if there's one dude, I keep mentioning Tommy Pham just because, you know, you're not taking on a big salary. And he maybe give you a spark. And then pitching, you're right. Is Ian Anderson going to get back? He's got his second rehab start. A.J. Smith-Shawver, is that a guy that teams are going to want and you don't want to give up in a trade if you're going to go for something big, right? Whether it's an outfielder or bringing a pitcher in.
Yep.
Because if you had Ronaldo Lopez before this injury now thing, and you had certainly Chris Sale along with Max Fried, you got three pitchers, you feel good in a best of five. And certainly in a playoff, moving on further from best of seven. But right now you don't have that. And look, I love Schwellenbach. Schwellenbach's, you know, we said Tom Glavine says you're going to take your bumps. You're going to learn on. You got to have some patience. Spencer Schwellenbach is really molding into a nice looking pitcher right now for this team. Well, but that's a lot of pressure to throw on him in the postseason.
He was one of the top prospects, and when all this stuff started happening, remember, I mean, it didn't cost him anything to move him up here. He was already a part of this organization. 11 strikeouts, mm-hmm. Mike. Is he now, you know, molding himself and coming along and turning into his own? I don't know. It feels that way, but yeah, I think the pitching, if you are a general manager, and I want you to put yourself in Alex's shoes, you really want to go get a starting pitcher that you're going to pay $15, $20 million for? Are you going to do that? I don't think you're going to do that.
Two ways of looking at this. If you're throwing the big picture out there, is Max Fried. Did Max Fried, with his little blips on the radar with the injury here, is he a guy that hurts his brand? Like, I think you take the totality of Max's career. Other guys with injuries have still gotten paid. I still think you can't match what somebody else is going to pay Max in free agency. So you may take a picture on, maybe in the hindsight of that, I'm going to need somebody next year. Just a thought. And maybe that would drive you to perhaps give up a bigger prospect and maybe take on some salary.
Fried, by the way, is expected to be off the IL Friday with that inflammation. That's at least what they're saying. As far as Ronaldo Lopez, if you didn't hear, forearm tightness, three scoreless before leaving. And everybody was kind of surprised. I certainly was, because it didn't feel like and seem like anything was wrong. And his teammates said the same thing as the Braves were able to win the last two games against the Mets. Tonight, it's Milwaukee, but everybody's watching, Mike, the trade deadline and what potential deals. And you're seeing, by the way, other contenders around the league already making deals.
Yeah, Jazz Chisholm, who can play the infield, may get a shot to play third base for the Yankees. The Yankees pulled the trigger there. We talked last week about Randy Arozarena, and he winds up going to Seattle as they're in. A lot of teams, you know, as we said, are alive, and teams that haven't been there in a while that want to make a push and, you know, make their fans happy. So we'll see how we'll battle. And right now, no moves from the Bravos just yet. Is it something that's going to come down to the wire? We talked to Grant McCauley today, early edition at 4:20, and I think he was of the opinion Friday, Carl, it'll be an 11th-hour move for the Braves.
I think so. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Follow Mike. He's Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up. See Dukes. And the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Follow this radio station at 929 The Game. Stay up on everything that's going on, guys. As far as Olsen, he is yesterday, all right, going into yesterday was, you know, you talk about where he's been. He goes deep, and I'll let you hear this in just a second, but 7-for-20 with two home runs in the past four games, Mike. He does also have 9 strikeouts. That's what Olsen has done. Mm. But when you're scoring and you're putting runs across the plate, you can overlook some of this other stuff. The problem is he's done none of that, and it's hard to overlook any of it. Here's Olsen with the 3-run homer yesterday.
Matt Olsen waiting at 0-1. He hits this deep to right field. Second deck. 3-run bomb. Matt Olsen.
Blows it open. 4 runs in the 4th inning, and he's part of it. Look, we've been on him hard because he deserves to be criticized, Carl. He's been batting sub 200 for the whole month of July. Is this one of those deals? I heard Andy and Abe talking about it, where every other year he's going to be good, like every other year, the odd years, the even years the Giants would win the World Series. I hope that's not the case. Hopefully he'll catch fire like he did 2 years ago, because he's been dreadful.
Riley, Arcia, Liriano, all these guys went deep yesterday. This is what we got used to last year, and we just haven't seen enough of it. Multiple guys having home run games. And then, by the way, six relievers come in, Mike,
right,
and did the job yesterday. So that was another plus. Here's Austin Riley going deep. I thought this put the game out of reach.
Austin Riley hits this deep to left field. Back at the wall goes Gamble. It is gone. It is 7-0 Atlanta right now. It is bombs away in Queens.
So the Braves 3-6 since the break. And that has a lot of people saying they need to do something here at the trade deadline. We certainly are still in front of the wild card, guys. After that win yesterday, mm-hmm. 1.5 games in front of the Mets, you're there. You still have an opportunity that presents itself. And, Mike, if your philosophy is, and I don't know if this is what they're thinking over there or not, we only get so many shots at this. Then we got to do something.
Yeah, and I know that the Diamondbacks kind of become the poster child for, well, who would have thunk it, right? So last year they get on that heater. We talked about Acuna in 21. We've covered that a million times, all the moves that were made and how – but the team was clutch. This team has shown an inability to be clutch yep. for over the course of the season. A great April, and then ever since then it's been so spotty. And again, if Olsen can get on a tear, all the other guys can start raking. See, that's the thing. Is Ozzie going to be able to come back and be effective? Is Money Harris going to be back here in 2 weeks? 3 weeks, 4 weeks, Money Harris going to play. And when he does come back, can he be effective? How does this weigh on how Alex approaches? If Schwellenbach continues to be a stud, you still got two pitchers which can help you out into a postseason. We touched on that. If Ronaldo Lopez is just going to be a temporary thing, maybe a week or two, but it looks weird. And everything with an arm now, you got to freak out over, don't you? So I got to be honest. If I ran the team, I'd just let the guys come back and be healthy. I'd add a guy like Tommy Pham to maybe try to spark the lineup, get some production in the outfield.
All right.
How's that?
It's fine. I mean, like, I just don't think there is an answer, one guy that fits what we're trying to do as far as – not fits. That's not the right word. That's going to enhance your lineup to the point where, Mike, it takes you over the top. And to your point, you're looking for a spark. I have no problems because Pham is inexpensive. At the end of the day, that's not gonna break the bank if you wanted to do something like that. But I just have the feeling, and I've been saying it for weeks now, they're staying the course. And now here we are up against it. The clock is ticking, and you guys know. You're not going – there's no GM that's going to turn around and have five moves in his hat in a day. We may see one or two between now and the end of the deadline, but even that, Mike, I think you're pushing. This is why teams have done the deals they've done leading up to tomorrow in case something else came about. But you don't wait till the last minute. And the other part is everybody knows this around Major League Baseball about the Braves right now. We're a little banged up. So you want to do business? Come on. But this is what I need in return.
But, you know, the debate is we've always had these fans. You know, we mock these fans who feel you never want to give up any prospects. I can't do that. I can't. No. Look, the thing is, the reality is you have made trades over the years because you have a window to win the World Series and the cupboards aren't bare, but they're thin. Right? You don't have a lot of stock right now in your minors. So do you feel this is a year where it's worth it to move one of your prospects to get somebody? Unless, to your point, it's somebody that comes with salary control. Mm. Maybe somebody from the Angels. Luis Rengifo, Taylor Ward. There's a couple of pieces pitching outfield. We've already talked about some of the lower-end guys like Tommy Pham. But then again, you touched on this last week. Then we have a logjam when Acuna comes back in the outfield. Unless you want to have an insurance policy built in. And maybe you're not still sold on Kelnick as a long-term answer. So maybe I go for that outfield that I take on some salary if I'm Alex Anthopoulos.
We will see if AA is going to do something. We want to know what you do. Stay put. You're trying to make a move or two. All right, we're coming back. We'll get to some headlines, including observations from the weekend with our Falcons. Today's an off day. They're back at it tomorrow. It's Dukes and Bell on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It is Dukes and Bell. We were just talking about whether the Braves do something. I don't think they do anything. And then this happens, Mike. Mm. A three-way trade between the Dodgers, Cardinals, and White Sox for
Tommy Pham, winding up in St. Louis. Bob Nightingale's got the full story and all the moving parts. I just thought, you know, if you're looking for, not to be, you know, nostalgic for the Jock Peterson trade in 21, but, you know, a similar guy, and ironically a guy that wants, you know, slap Jock Peterson around, Tommy Pham. I like the idea of bringing him in.
There's a reason why, you know, I do all kinds of fighting in the offseason. I'm prepared to beat somebody up. So.
Yeah.
I just think you can never have too many of those type of guys in a clubhouse, but that's me. But I just thought that'd be a nice touch for us, and he's relatively inexpensive, but he gone.
Okay. So as we talk about the trade deadline, which is tomorrow, okay? And the irony is, Mike was just talking about it. I said, would you add somebody? He said, if I'd add somebody, maybe Tommy Pham. He's gone. I mean, literally, within 5 minutes later, there's a deal. Here's where I'm at with this, and this is where I've been. For the Braves to make any kind of move, and let's just talk about the pitching for a second, because we just saw Schwellenbach, you know, 11 strikeouts, right? You have to feel like whatever you're going to bring in is an upgrade over him. If not, you're giving away trade assets, and you're taking on money. For no reason. And the reason why I say that is because that's how you have to look at these deals. Is this guy a potential upgrade over whatever it is we have right now? So from a pitching standpoint, that doesn't play. Mike, I feel like the staff and I feel like the front office really likes this kid, and now he's living up to it, right? He's showing you, hey, I'm very capable. Okay, so that's a pitcher. Well, what about the everyday guys? Okay. You will have a situation where you're going to bring back Ronald Acuna, who has an escalating salary, Money Harris, we're all assuming he's going to be healthy next year, and I think they believe in Kelnick. Oh, by the way, I still think they're going to pick up Ozuna's contract because it's cheaper to keep him.
Right.
So there's your situation when you start talking about potentially in the outfield. Well, is anybody you're going to go get better than any of those guys right now?
Right.
That's what this organization is tasked with. And I'm not saying it's the right way to think. All I'm telling you is this is how I think they're thinking about it, and that's why they're not going to do anything.
So the outfield next year could be, you know, I guess Kelnick, Acuna in right, and Money Harris back in the middle in center field. But, you know, they're not married to Kelnick. I mean, no. They made a trade to get him, but it's not like they got to say, and here's your sample size. What is Kelnick? Well, he's gone through some hot and cold streaks. And aside from, like, again, the low point Thursday night, trying to freelance a bunt and a suicide squeeze, you know, maybe they, I don't know, where they go, taking on salary, the fact that we are already going to be in that top four and the top three, unless they shed some salary, Max Fried, you know, you could argue, Carl, the thing that makes the most sense, if you're thinking big picture, is picking up a pitcher, you'd have some degree of control over moving forward.
Okay. And by the way,
to make up for Fried's absence next year.
I'm not opposed to any of this, but when you guys ask me, Dukes, why aren't they doing anything, here's why. This is what they're thinking. This is why they are not pulling the trigger on doing anything, because you have to think, we're getting Harris back. He's going to be healthy. Fried's coming off the IL. He's going to be all right. We're going to get, hopefully, knock wood, Ronaldo Lopez. Guys, his ERA is ridiculous. It still is ridiculous, even though he only threw three innings. You start to say all of this coming back. The only question mark for me, Mike, remains, can we get the kind of production from Olsen and Riley like we saw yesterday where guys are hitting multiple home runs? If that happens, you have a shot. If it doesn't, then you're blank out of luck.
Now, I'm looking at some of the Spotrac. They've got the Braves right on the cusp of the top 10 in payroll next year. That's, again, I don't know if that means all the escalators kicking in on a new contract year.
Sure.
Because I know sometimes it is confusing. You want to make sure you're on the proper baseline here. But we haven't told the Braves we're going to get into and be in the top five in payroll the next couple seasons.
And to your point about Kelnick, you're right. They are not. This is not a long-term deal. But what it does allow them to do is have a really good option for a lot less money. And so, remember, you can't pay everybody. So if you're paying all the guys that you think we should be paying, and they pretty much are, you don't have to add Kelnick to that list.
Right.
Right? So that is another reason why I think it's a very good option for them to say, hey, we're going to stay the course with him, because he's not going to be a $15 or $20 million guy.
Now, is Nacho the shortstop of the future? You want a little more pop at the short. You got to have a little more home run pop at the shortstop position?
Yeah, I think you do.
He was hitting pretty good in Gwinnett, and we'll see again. You know, Rome wasn't built in a day. You know, you'd love to see this guy just come in and just hit it. But Arcia, I mean, again, I try to upgrade his shortstop potentially. I mean, there's a lot of things you could try to do, but I'm with Cora. I think it's going to be minor moves here at the trade deadline. I think Alex looks at this team, not that he would ever come on our radio and admit that it's just flawed, but it's flawed. It's got injuries and guys aren't hitting. And that's just you guys, no matter how you polish this turd, yes, number one wild card right now, but you've still got a team that cannot hit. Some folks would say enough pitching can do anything for you in the playoffs. That's the argument against four, Carl, going and doing something right now.
All right, three-way trade again, Dodgers, Cardinals, White Sox. The main guy that Mike had been talking about was Tommy Pham. He goes to the Cardinals.
Yep.
Okay? There are other guys obviously involved in this. They're trying to fill the void. Listen, the Dodgers are in this because, believe it or not, they're not a complete team. Like, as good as the Dodgers are, there are some things. This is interesting that they went in on this and helped. In on this trade, there's some voids there. I don't feel like the Dodgers are the best team. I still feel like the Phillies are the best team in baseball, but certainly in the National League.
Still waiting to see if Phillies, they can have been doing that closer thing by committee.
They just traded for one over the weekend.
So that's one of the things we talked about. Philly making moves, Orioles making moves, Yankees making moves. But the Braves, a lot of fans are saying, look, we are the number one wild card. You should be just as committed because, as we've seen the last few years, you don't have to win a division to be a World Series champion. By the way, I did find the updated information.
Yeah.
Total payroll, all allocations, it's Phillies, Yankees, and Braves for 2025. So as far as the active again, it gets confusing, but the Braves are top three in payroll going into next season.
Yeah. The one thing that the Phillies needed, they went and got this weekend. And it's funny because we went and got, you know, a guy a few years ago from the Angels, and everybody's like, this guy, I think, is really going to help their bullpen. And they already have a good bullpen, but the closer situation.
Carlos Estevez, they picked up from the Angels. And look, we can't argue. Raisel Iglesias, even though, you know, it's maybe you want to see a guy throwing 100 miles an hour on every pitch, he's been effective for the Braves.
He has. All right, guys, 404-726-0929. Big O's doing all the things today. Executive producing, he is behind the glass as well. Big O, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, let's start first with our Falcons. Over the weekend, Mike, lots of positives coming out. I don't know if you watch any of the NFL coverage, NFL Network. They basically went around to all the camps. They had guys everywhere, and they were there for Saturday's practice. The thing that I'm getting so far, and I could be completely wrong about this, is, Mike, Ray McCloud looks like he's carving out a little niche for himself in this offense. I don't know if it means he's going to be the slot. It feels that way, but he's been doing a lot of work with the ones.
Right. Now, we will finally see these guys hitting in pads on Wednesday. But according to the reports that I saw from D-Led and from our guys that were at the practice up in Buford, is that the ball really didn't hit the ground. And for what it was, controlled environment with a practice, the Kirk Cousins is just hitting everybody in the hands, and the ball is just coming out accurately and on schedule. And to a lesser extent, Penix is looking just as good. And that's great.
It is great, man. Listen, we want to hear...
What do you expect?
If we were telling you, like, man, Penix went 0 for 15 in practice, you'd be losing your mind. He looks good. I just like the fact that, guys, at one point on Saturday, Kirk Cousins threw 10 consecutive completions. I know we're talking about practice, but if he didn't, you might be saying, okay, well, is he okay? He's fine. Let's hear Ray McCloud, Mike, talk about, he's learning from Kirk Cousins.
You learn something every day with a quarterback like that, you know. Coming from Pittsburgh, where I was with Ike, I had been, and it was similar. You know, just every day is something you can sponge from. You know, just everything he talks about is just he coaches as well. You know, the coach is not just this way or no way. He puts in his input and in certain things. He's out there playing, so when you on cue with him, I think it's gonna be fun.
I think so, too. And as I said, Ray, I'm not going to overhype this, but he's carving out a little niche, man. Both of those guys, Darnell Mooney and Ray McCloud, will have their spots and certainly be targeted quite a bit, I believe, through this offense. Now, the other guys, Kyle Pitts, we heard from him. He was talking about the leadership as well of Kirk Cousins, Mike. And ironically, he told Andy and Randy it reminds him of a guy named Matt Ryan.
Yeah, like you say, we're not going to do the comparing game. No. But I would say him and Matt are pretty similar in terms of, you know, taking charge of the team. Being in that veteran role and knowing, you know, where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be, so you can preserve yourself and not run into any headaches. I think Desmond did a great job of, you know, his first year starting and, you know, doing as best he could and, you know, trying to get as many wins as he could.
Okay. we've been saying this, and maybe you're right about this. Maybe it's just him getting a veteran guy who knows where to put the ball, and Pitts is going to have an unbelievable year, because that comparison, right, I think, is real.
I was like, man, this dude, he's legit.
That's right, Bijan. Yeah, I mean, and again, it's not like you throw the other guys under the bus. You know, it just is what it is. I mean, you had bums, and now you got a guy who's really one of the top three accurate passers. Ritter was a bum. We all know he's a bum. Mariota was a bum, and now you got a guy who can deliver the football. Now, the one question area we've been talking about a lot is Mike Hughes. Is they really like Mike Hughes that much that he's going to be your starting corner with guys that are, with all due respect to Mike Hughes, twice as good sitting out there available for a short-term deal in free agency? But that's what we're seeing. A.J. Terrell on one side, Clark Phillips in the nickel, and then Hughes, who did play some nickel last year, on the other side. So looks like that's what they're thinking. So, you know, Raheem Morris and Jimmy Lake, they seem to like it. I mean, can't argue with it. If time will tell, we'll see in preseason. But you can still, as our boy, you know, Brian McFadden said, make a phone call, you know, late in the preseason.
Mike, I think you can help yourself there. And I just feel like you can't have enough of those guys, man. And we still don't know what's going to happen with AJ's contract. We saw all these quarterback contracts get done. We still have no idea if and when that's going to happen. We think it is, but we don't know if it is.
The other thing, if you heard our conversation on Friday's show, we spoke with Braylon Trice from Washington. Very impressive guy. Let's see now if you know, he can match what he did at Washington, the same kind of leadership, athleticism, big hitter, and maybe crack the starting lineup. That'd be cool. We didn't mention this on the show. We mentioned it once on Friday. You and I were doing an interview with Braylon, and this all of a sudden the sun got eclipsed, and it was Zach Harrison walking by. Zach Harrison has put on 30 pounds. And it's not like you put on 30 pounds of blubber. It's like 30 pounds of man meat muscle.
He was already big.
I mean, this dude already looked like he was carved out of wood. The knock on him, he needed to get a little bit bigger in the low, in the dumper, right? Get more, a little more base. Well, I'll tell you what. If this guy can, you always mind looking like somebody who looks like Reggie White? That's what this dude looks like right now. Can he match that? Can he be that guy? That'd be a hell of a story.
They're expecting him to give them lots of pressures, along with, you know, Taquan Graham, along with Kentavious Street. Those are the guys, Mike, when you start talking about who's going to bring additional pressure, right, outside of obviously the linebackers and whatever additional, you know, secondary blitz and stuff you're going to do. Speaking of linebackers, let me hear Nate Landman, because he's calling a defense, and he talked about the rotation between Caden Ellis and Troy Anderson. Mike, that's got to figure itself out. But my guess is all three guys play a lot, right, unless you're not keeping one of them. Here is Nate Landman.
As you guys have seen, we got a good rotation going. When Caden's in there with Troy, Caden's calling the defense. And then when I'm in there with either of them, then I'm calling the defense as the Mike. It's pretty much just who's set up as Mike in whatever defense we're running. But good problem to have, you know, like you guys have seen. And hopefully there's a way to get all of us on the field. And but right now it's good rotation, and that's how it's handling who's calling the defense.
Now, Troy Anderson is a combine darling, a guy that played every position in college. But, you know, last year, as you said it, Nate Landman was just Johnny on the spot.
The hammer! Plays.
Yeah, man. The Rhodesian Lion from Zimbabwe. I mean, this dude, he's getting after it. Ironically, they're roommates. We've talked about that. But you got a lot of dudes, man. You had Bertrand, who we drafted from Notre Dame. The linebacker room is full.
I think so. I think so. And by the way, this is interesting because Troy Anderson, to me, Mike, just from an experience standpoint, would be the odd man out. Nate Landman has played linebacker forever, right, played it at Colorado. This is, if they're going to be rotating these guys in, that's fine, but I want to see if somebody rises to the top. And it feels like Nate Landman has carved out his niche.
You know, a 3-4 defense with 4-3 tendencies where you walk up the offensive, or the outside, I should say the OLB, outside linebacker. That's Braylon Trice. That's been Caden Ellis, too. So we'll see where this thing goes, man. Good news, we got some dudes.
All right, guys, this hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Up your Man Cave game this season at mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell. Coming up, we will recap what we just learned and what went down in Major League Baseball, and what it means for our Braves. They're in Milwaukee, by the way, as they continue this road trip, and we are still awaiting word on Ronaldo Lopez. It's Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Teams making deals, the Braves? Well, at least not yet. But they still have time, if that's, in fact, what you want to do. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com. It's Dukes and Bell. The other thing over the weekend, and Mike and I were talking about this, was, you know, how much of the Olympics that you're watching. I am very interested in Team USA only because it's one of the things that interests me in the Olympics ever since 1992. When we started sending our professional guys over to, you know, fill the void, I've always been interested in that. I also wanted to see Simone Biles, which I actually didn't watch yesterday, just because she's amazing. But, Mike, I pick and choose, you know, some of these events. if it happens to be on, like now, we have it on in the studio, and they're swimming on, and if I was at home right now, I don't know if I'd be watching that.
You know, if the Braves weren't on, and if I had a bunch of people at the house this weekend, man, we'd be like an Airbnb the whole month of July. It'd be nice to have a weekend to yourself. I know you had people, too. But we're all watching. We're all F1 guys, and the girls are, too, so we're watching Formula One. And then we got into the Olympic stuff. And it's funny. Stuff that you and I joke around. Things I'd never in a million years give a minute's think of watching. And then you see archery on. China taking on South Korea. Foom, you know, and watching this stuff.
The accuracy, yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, color me stupid. I'm sucked in. I'll watch this for a minute. But something like that I did watch some of the beach volleyball. But, yeah, I'm with you. I wanted to see LeBron. And, look, LeBron, we joked around, is certainly well-rested because the Lakers didn't go anywhere in the playoffs. But, man, he takes this stuff seriously. You got to love a guy who's balling out. And Durant finally got on the floor.
Well, that was the thing. And we had talked about it. He had been hurt, guys. He hadn't practiced. He hadn't done hardly anything. He was in Vegas. Like, they didn't know when he was going to come back. He comes back and has a great game. And by the way, I don't know, man. Did you feel like they were picking on Joker? Like, I mean,
yeah,
it felt like,
bit.
Like the guys were going at him, you know, and kind of just, hey, we love you. We know who you are, but you're not winning this thing. Here is Durant, by the way. This is a fadeaway. He had 21 points, 8 of 8 in the second quarter.
Screen, there
James
you go.
Looking, finding Durant, fading Durant. First half.
44 points for King James and Durant combined as they basically smoke. It was close for a while there, and then they hit the gas, and they beat Serbia 110-84.
LeBron also threw an alley-oop to his teammate Anthony Davis, Mike. We'll tell you what the big fuss was and what's going to happen here moving forward, but this was a LeBron with an alley-oop.
Michael Jordan photo that I have, my first one. Oh! What a finish. Count it plus one, and LeBron is controlling everything.
Yeah.
Now, you and I were talking about a world without, like, NBA on TNT and where Charles eventually goes one more year of that before they go, I certainly like Ian Eagle and Dwayne Wade.
Good.
Sounds good.
Good.
Orin, what'd you think? I thought it was pretty easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Dwayne is great.
Dwayne is fun, man. I'm with you.
He is, and it would not surprise me if he ends up at NBC during those games, potentially. I know I don't know who they've hired or whatever, how that's going to work. But, Mike, they've got basically a blank slate. And they'll try to fill it as much as they possibly can. Somebody brought this up to me over the weekend and said, guys, what if TNT just said, you know what, we're going to keep the show, and we'll do it around these games. And if you want to watch this show after these games, then you come to us.
You know, I mean, you're still right. How's that work as far as the rights? You got to make a deal to have the highlights.
Correct, but you don't have the games.
Right.
And by the way, the games bring the people, right? It's very rare where I will tell you, for example, and I don't watch a lot of the post-game shows, but if I did, I'm not changing the channel to find that show unless, Mike, that's my show. And the TNT show is a lot of people's show. It would be interesting to see. They don't like, for example, there might be a movie on while the game's on, but as soon as the game's over, you switch it over. Yeah, you go over and you hear what the guys had to say about it. So I don't know if that would work, but somebody said to me, why don't they think about that? I think part of the return on investment, as a matter of fact, I know it is having the games, those packages they sell, Mike, and then making that money back that they're paying out to the NBA. You're not going to do that just with a pre and a post game show.
Right. So that's one way to do it. I know, like with the Amazon, you got to find some of these things, you got to find some chemistry. They got Andrew Whitworth, our buddy from the Rams.
They got
Tony Gonzalez, let's be honest. He just looks pretty. He doesn't say much.
He is pretty.
And then you got Richard Sherman, who says a lot. It's interesting. And you got Fitzpatrick, who's kind of fun. But it's hard to try to find that chemistry. I'm with you. I would, if given that option and just turn it over to TNT, I'd be there.
I would too. By the way, medal count, we lead all medals. We've got 15. I think France has 14. Japan has 12. But listen, we should dominate these Olympics. And we said that when it's all said and done, we should have the most medals of anybody. Women's soccer is dominating right now. They look good. Men's basketball looks good. All the stars around their specific sports, in which we've seen here over the last few days since it started on Friday, it's going fine. So I don't know if we have anything to complain about, except speaking of the men's team, people were saying, where was Jason Tatum, Mike? What's going on with Tatum?
Yeah, and look, I don't know what the story is here, why Steve Kerr was slow rolling it, but apparently the next game, Jason Tatum is going to play for Team USA, according to Kerr.
By the way, this is a good problem to have, and this is probably what they were saying about Jaylen Brown, Mike.
Mm.
Where Jaylen Brown would have came to the team, and what if Jaylen Brown was sitting yesterday? Like, people would have been like, I don't understand. This dude is great. Here's Kerr on Tatum not playing against Serbia.
It's tough, but Jason handled it really well. I talked to him today before the game that it may play out this way, just with Kevin coming back and the lineups that I wanted to get to. But that'll change. You know, Jason's going to play. Every game's going to be different based on matchups. He's a total pro. He's, you know, first team All-NBA 3 years in a row. I felt like an idiot not playing him. But in a 40-minute game, you can't play more than 10. You really can't. And, you know, so I think he's an amazing guy, great player, and handled it beautifully. And, you know, he'll be back out there next game.
Other guy that was a little inconsistent and, you know, both exciting and a little infuriating in Vegas was Anthony Edwards. Edwards was great off the bench in the game against Serbia. We played the sound of the alley-oop to Anthony Davis. It was a really cool alley-oop. LeBron got to Ant-Man. He had a big block. You know, he's playing both. He loves playing both and takes pride in his defense.
He does. And I just like the fact it's so weird, right, seeing all these guys because they all compete against each other. But they're all cheering and dancing and having a good time when somebody right. makes a play. It's just a lot of fun from that standpoint. I just want to go and dominate. And I hope they continue to do that. 404-726-0929 as we talk about the Olympics. And by the way, don't know, you guys can text us and let us know how much you're paying attention to it. Is there something specific you want to watch? Oren said he was watching skateboarding yesterday.
Right. Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's sometimes you're just flipping around. And again, it's all to me, it's all about what else is on. And if there's nothing else on, I'll take a stab. Beach volleyball, I like, because I was disappointed the women were wearing long pants for the Czech Republic, if I'm honest. Sorry, call me a sexist pig. But it was kind of fun watching that. Watch Cuba upset men in beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Those guys, young Cuban guys, is just getting... I was, you know, you and I like volleyball. We both played a lot of volleyball as kids. It's like, why aren't you... You're serving it too slow. Let's go, man. Put some pressure on these cats. But again, because it's Team USA, here's a sport I never watch, and now I'm getting all amped up because I'm getting beat by the Cubans, man. The opening ceremonies, we'll talk more about it in Guy Talk, and that's something that, you know, is for the ultimate casual viewer, like the halftime show is for the Super Bowl and everybody who watches. But NBC's numbers are through the roof. It is the best since London. I think no coincidence that you had London games and now Paris games were easier to watch as opposed to, you know, the Tokyo games and maybe a disconnect with Brazil for whatever reason, even though it was in a similar time zone, but the numbers are the best they've been since 2012. And, you know, the opening ceremonies, I thought it was like, I knew it was going to be in France. There was going to be some really goofy stuff. There was going to be some cool stuff. And there was definitely going to be some stuff people were going to complain about. And you got all three.
You did. I was just wondering if there would be complaints about getting in the river, if that was going to be something that a lot of people talked about.
Well, they spent $1 billion to clean up the Seine, only to have a deluge of rain in Paris and the whole area. So now all the stuff they were going to do in the river, all the stuff and the sewage and because even the rainwater drains through the gutters and the sewers, so they're not going to do it in the river. So now they got to go do that someplace else.
Well, let's hope so.
The surfing in Tahiti, I didn't even know they were doing that.
Neither did I.
That was so cool because, you know, Tahiti is a French colony.
They're standing on a cruise ship out there too. That's their Olympic cruise ship. Yeah.
Really?
Imagine the fun those guys are having.
They're getting it in. That's going to be a good time out there.
They don't test for everything out there, do they? But, yeah, I mean, imagine you're a surfer and you're in Tahiti for 2 weeks. Giddy up.
Yeah. Listen, man, and that's the part about this. Like, as corny as you may think it is, and, I mean, listen, I said this. Like, I'm not watching breakdancing, okay? But right. to have surfed all your life, and there are millions of people who do it around the world, right? You know, right. Guys grow up on beaches and whatnot. But to now have that as something, Mike, where you can compete and really, you know, potentially go win a gold medal, I think it's cool. But surfing's hard. Like, if you've ever tried to surf, and I tried, it's just basic surfing. Like, getting up on the board is hard, let alone, Mike, chasing these waves and doing what you need to do.
My old man was a big guy and a lifeguard. He could ride the longboard. Yeah, surfing has always eluded me, Carl. I've tried, but yeah, not very good.
Scene if you're getting Sarah Marshall, you're doing too much. Do less. Do less. No, you're not doing anything right now.
But we'll talk about it during Guy Talk. But, yeah, I mean, I'm not going to crap on everything. Like, there's some things, like I said, I'll take the challenge. I'll watch some of it. But I did find myself, to your point, that's the initial question, watching more this week than I thought I would.
Yeah, interesting. All right, guys, more to get to. We will talk more about our Braves, obviously, as they continue this road trip. We are awaiting word, and I'm sure before the end of this show at 7 o'clock, we will find out, hopefully, something about Ronaldo Lopez. We're waiting on an MRI, guys, after he left the game yesterday, forearm tightness. And it's just, you know, again, Snit said it was precautionary, but it's nothing that you want to have to deal with.
Right.
And, Mike, these are those kind of injuries where you rest it, you may feel good, you go out, you start throwing, all of a sudden it returns. So you don't know how long this is going to be one of those nagging things. And, again, once we get past the trade deadline, guys, you really have no way to improve the team, okay? When you start saying, can we go acquire talent to improve the team? The old days are gone where you could add a couple of guys before the end of September, as long as they were on your roster before the playoffs started, et cetera. You can't do those things anymore. So whatever we get to, or however this shakes out over the next 48 hours, Mike, our team's going to be out there, and then you're going to be talking about, you know, moving guys up and back from Gwinnett and et cetera, and giving guys an opportunity.
Yeah, and will they trade, as we said? Are they going to be aggressive trying to – do you even think about 2025 and beyond and replacing Max Fried, who you trade for as your pitcher in this cycle as far as the trade deadline? Is that even a consideration? Would you be willing to get some frontline pitching and give up a guy like A.J. Smith-Shawver? Seems to be one of those guys they think about protecting.
It should be a consideration. I just don't know if it is. I mean, because only for the from the standpoint of if you do that, and I think it's a great idea, you got to cover yourself, right? Because there's no guarantees. Like, again, if you're not offering Fried and he's going to be offered elsewhere, Mike, he can walk. You know that. You got to be able to cover yourself. I'd rather do that potentially now to try to get a guy that, again, we have under control for a couple more years and maybe he could come in and help us, but not cost prohibitive. That's the issue. That's it.
Right.
That's it. What are you getting for the cost that you're willing to put out there? What are we talking about? What's the range of the kind of pitcher you're talking about?
And then, you know, the dudes that we have here are from Dave O'Brien earlier from The Athletic.
Teams making deals, the Braves. Well, at least not yet. But they still have time. If that's, in fact, what you want to do. This hour is brought to you by the Man Cave Store. Visit mancavestore.com and Stukes and Bell. The other thing over the weekend, and Mike and I were talking about this, was, you know, how much of the Olympics that you're watching. I am very interested in Team USA only because it's one of the things that interests me in the Olympics ever since 1992. When we started sending our professional guys over to, you know, fill the void, I've always been interested in that. I also wanted to see Simone Biles, which I actually didn't watch yesterday. Just because she's amazing. But, Mike, I pick and choose, you know, some of these events. If it happens to be on, like now, we have it on in the studio, and there's swimming on, and if I was at home right now, I don't know if I'd be watching that.
You know, if the Braves weren't on, and if I had a bunch of people at the house this weekend, man, we'd be like an Airbnb the whole month of July. It'd be nice to have a weekend to yourself. I know you had people, too. But we're all watching. We're all F1 guys, and the girls are, too, so we're watching Formula One. And then we got into the Olympic stuff. And it's funny. Stuff that you and I joke around. Things I'd never in a million years give a minute's think of watching. And then you see archery on. China taking on South Korea. Foom, you know, and watching this stuff.
The accuracy, yeah.
And you're like, okay, all right, color me stupid. I'm sucked in. I'll watch this for a minute. But something like that, I did watch some of the beach volleyball. But yeah, I'm with you. I wanted to see LeBron. And look, LeBron, we joked around, is certainly well rested because the Lakers didn't go anywhere in the playoffs. But man, he takes this stuff seriously. You got to love a guy who's balling out. And Durant finally got on the floor.
Well, that was the thing. And we had talked about it. He had been hurt, guys. He hadn't practiced. He hadn't done hardly anything. He was in Vegas. Like, they didn't know when he was going to come back. He comes back and has a great game. And by the way, I don't know, man. Did you feel like they were picking on Joker? Like, I mean,
yeah,
it felt
little
like,
bit.
Like the guys were going at him, you know, and kind of just, hey, we love you. We know who you are, but you're not winning this thing. Here is Durant, by the way. This is a fadeaway. He had 21 points, 8 of 8 in the second quarter.
Screen, there
James
you go.
Looking, finding, Durant, fading, Durant.
First half. 44 points for King James and Durant combined as they basically smoke. It was close for a while there, and then they, you know, hit the gas and they beat Serbia 110-84.
LeBron also threw an alley-oop to his teammate Anthony Davis. Mike, we'll tell you what the big fuss was and what's going to happen here moving forward, but this was a LeBron with an alley-oop.
Michael Jordan photo that I have, my first one. Oh!
What a finish. Count it plus one, and LeBron is controlling everything.
Yeah.
Now, you and I were talking about a world without, like, NBA on TNT and where Charles eventually goes one more year of that before they go, I certainly like Ian Eagle and Dwayne Wade.
Good.
Sounds good.
Good.
Oren, what'd you think? I thought it was pretty easy to listen to.
Yeah.
Dwayne is great.
Dwayne is fun, man. I'm with you.
He is, and it would not surprise me if he ends up at NBC during those games, potentially. I know I don't know who they've hired or whatever, how that's going to work. But, Mike, they've got basically a blank slate. And they'll try to fill it as much as they possibly can. Somebody brought this up to me over the weekend and said, guys, what if TNT just said, you know what, we're going to keep the show, and we'll do it around these games. And if you want to watch this show after these games, then you come to us.
You know, I mean, you're still right. How does that work as far as the rights? You got to make a deal to have the highlights.
Correct, but you don't have the games.
Right.
And by the way, the games bring the people, right? it's very rare where I will tell you, for example, and I don't watch a lot of the post-game shows, but if I did, I'm not changing the channel to find that show unless, Mike,
right,
that's my show. And the TNT show is a lot of people's show. It would be interesting to see. They don't like, for example, there might be a movie on while the game's on, but as soon as the game's over, you know,
right,
you
switch it over.
Yeah, you go over and you hear what the guys had to say about it. So I don't know if that would work, but somebody said to me, why don't they think about that? I think part of the return on investment, a matter of fact, I know it is having the games, those packages they sell, Mike, and then making that money back that they're paying out to the NBA. You're not going to do that just with a pre and a post game show.
Right. So that's one way to do it. I know, like with the Amazon, you got to find some of these things, you got to find some chemistry. They got what, Andrew Whitworth, our buddy from the Rams.
That's
they
right.
got, you know, Tony Gonzalez, let's be honest, he just looks pretty. He doesn't say much.
He is pretty.
You know, and then you got Richard Sherman, who says a lot. It's interesting. And you got Fitzpatrick, who's kind of fun. But it's hard to try to find that chemistry. I'm with you. I would, if given that option and just turn it over to TNT, I'd be there.
I would too. By the way, medal count, we lead all medals. We've got 15. I think France has 14. Japan has 12. But listen, we should dominate these Olympics. And we said that. When it's all said and done, we should have the most medals of anybody. Women's soccer is dominating right now. They look good. Men's basketball looks good. All the stars around their specific sports, in which we've seen here over the last few days since it started on Friday, it's going fine. So I don't know if we have anything to complain about, except speaking of the men's team, people were saying, where was Jason Tatum, Mike? What's going on with Tatum?
Yeah, and look, I don't know what the story is here, why Steve Kerr was slow rolling it, but apparently the next game, Jason Tatum is going to play for Team USA, according to Kerr.
By the way, this is a good problem to have, and this is probably what they were saying about Jaylen Brown, Mike.
Mm.
Where Jaylen Brown would have came to the team, and what if Jaylen Brown was sitting yesterday? Like, people would have been like, I don't understand. Was it, this dude is great. Here's Kerr on Tatum not playing against Serbia.
It's tough, but Jason handled it really well. I talked to him today before the game that it may play out this way, just with Kevin coming back and the lineups that I wanted to get to. But that'll change. You know, Jason's going to play. Every game's going to be different based on matchups. He's a total pro. He's, you know, first team All-NBA 3 years in a row. I felt like an idiot not playing him. But in a 40-minute game, you can't play more than 10. You really can't. And, you know, so I think he's an amazing guy, great player, and handled it beautifully. And, you know, he'll be back out there next game.
Other guy that was a little inconsistent and, you know, both exciting and a little infuriating in Vegas was Anthony Edwards. Edwards was great off the bench in the game against Serbia. We played the sound of the alley-oop to Anthony Davis. It was a really cool alley-oop with LeBron got to Ant-Man. He had a big block. You know, he's playing both. He loves playing both and takes pride in his defense.
He does. And I just like the fact it's so weird, right, seeing all these guys because they all compete against each other, but they're all cheering and dancing and having a good time when somebody right. makes a play. It's just a lot of fun from that standpoint. I just want to go and dominate, and I hope they continue to do that. 404-726-0929 as we talk about the Olympics. And by the way, don't know, you guys can text us and let us know how much you're paying attention to it. Is there something specific you want to watch? Oren said he was watching skateboarding right. yesterday.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's sometimes you're just flipping around. And again, it's all to me, it's all about what else is on. And if there's nothing else on, I'll take a stab. Beach volleyball, I like because I was disappointed the women were wearing long pants for the Czech Republic, if I'm honest. Sorry, call me a sexist pig. But it was kind of fun watching that. Watch Cuba upset men in beach volleyball.
Yeah.
Those guys, young Cuban guys, is just getting... you and I like volleyball. We both played a lot of volleyball as kids. It's like, why aren't you... You're serving it too slow. Let's go, man. Put some pressure on these cats. But again, because it's Team USA, here's a sport I never watch, and now I'm getting all amped up because I'm getting beat by the Cubans, man. The opening ceremonies, we'll talk more about it in Guy Talk, and that's something that, you know, is for the ultimate casual viewer, like the halftime show is for the Super Bowl and everybody who watches. But NBC's numbers are through the roof. It is the best since London. I think no coincidence that you had London games and now Paris games were easier to watch as opposed to, you know, the Tokyo games and maybe a disconnect with Brazil for whatever reason, even though it was in a similar time zone, but the numbers are the best they've been since 2012. And, you know, the opening ceremonies, I thought it was like, I knew it was going to be in France. There was going to be some really goofy stuff. There was going to be some cool stuff. And there was definitely going to be some stuff people were going to complain about. And you got all three.
You did. I was just wondering if there would be complaints about getting in the river, if that was going to be something that a lot of people talked about.
Well, they spent $1 billion to clean up the Seine only to have a deluge of rain in Paris and the whole area. So now all the stuff they were going to do in the river, all the stuff in the sewage and because the rainwater drains through the gutters and the sewers, so they're not going to do it in the river. So now they got to go do that someplace else.
Well, let's hope so.
The surfing in Tahiti, I didn't even know they were doing that.
Neither did I.
That was so cool because, you know, Tahiti is a French colony.
They're staying on a cruise ship out there, too. That's their Olympic
cruise
ship.
Really?
Imagine the fun those guys are having.
They're getting it in. That's going to be a good time out there.
They don't test for everything out there, do they? But yeah, I mean, imagine you're a surfer and you're in Tahiti for 2 weeks. Giddy up.
Yeah. Listen, man, and that's the part about this. Like, as corny as you may think it is, and I mean, listen, I said this. Like, I'm not watching breakdancing, okay? But right. to have surfed all your life, and there are millions of people who do it around the world, right? You know, guys grow up on beaches and whatnot. But to now have that as something, Mike, where you can compete and really, you know, potentially go win a gold medal, I think it's cool. But surfing's hard. Like, if you've ever tried to surf, and I tried, just basic surfing, like getting up on the board is hard, let alone, Mike, chasing these waves and doing what you need to do.
My old man was a big guy and a lifeguard. He could ride the longboard. Yeah, surfing has always eluded me, Carl. I've tried, but yeah, not very good.
What's that scene if you're getting Sarah Marshall? You're doing too much. Do less. Do less. No. You're not doing anything right now.
But we'll talk about it during Guy Talk. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to crap on everything. Like, there's some things, like I said, I'll take the challenge. I'll watch some of it. But I did find myself, to your point, that's the initial question, watching more this week than I thought I would.
Yeah, interesting. All right, guys, more to get to. We will talk more about our Braves, obviously, as they continue this road trip. We are awaiting word, and I'm sure before the end of this show at 7 o'clock, we will find out, hopefully, something about Ronaldo Lopez. We're waiting on an MRI, guys, after he left the game yesterday, forearm tightness. And it's just, you know, again, Snit said it was precautionary, but it's nothing that you want to have to deal with.
Right.
And, Mike, these are those kind of injuries where you rest it, you may feel good, you go out, you start throwing, all of a sudden it returns. So you don't know how long this is going to be one of those nagging things. And, again, once we get past the trade deadline, guys, you really have no way to improve the team, okay? When you start saying, can we go acquire talent to improve the team – The old days are gone where you could add a couple of guys before the end of September, and as long as they were on your roster before the playoffs started, et cetera. You can't do those things anymore. So whatever we get to, or however this shakes out over the next 48 hours, Mike, our team's going to be out there, and then you're going to be talking about, you know, moving guys up and back from Gwinnett and et cetera, and giving guys an opportunity.
Yeah, and will they trade, as we said? Are they going to be aggressive trying to – do you even think about 2025 and beyond and replacing Max Fried, who you trade for as your pitcher in this cycle as far as the trade deadline? Is that even a consideration? Would you be willing to get some frontline pitching and give up a guy like A.J. Smith-Shawver? Seems to be one of those guys they think about protecting.
It should be a consideration. I just don't know if it is. I mean, because only for the from the standpoint of if you do that, and I think it's a great idea, you got to cover yourself, right? Because there's no guarantees. Like, again, if you're not offering Fried and he's going to be offered elsewhere, Mike, he can walk. You know that. You got to be able to cover yourself. I'd rather do that potentially now to try to get a guy that, again, we have under control for a couple more years and maybe he could come in and help us, but not cost prohibitive. That's the issue. That's it.
Right.
What are you getting for the cost that you're willing to put out there? What are we talking about? What's the range of the kind of pitcher you're talking about?
And then, you know, the dudes that we have here are from Dave O'Brien earlier from The Athletic. If you didn't see it, Ian Anderson had his second start for the Stripers. 4 1/3, 7 hits, 3 runs, 4 Ks. So obviously some things to work on there. A.J. Smith-Shawver at AAA at Durham on Saturday. 3 runs, 7 strikeouts, a couple of walks. 5 hits and 4. Mm. All 3 runs on solo home runs. According to Dave, he looked good. So, all right, eventually there will be some cavalry over the hill coming to the rescue. It's just, when.
Yeah, when. That's why, again, do you just be patient? And it's the hardest thing to do when you have a team that you feel like, we're right there. We could really take off if some of these things happen. But it's almost like 21. I will say this. You're not going to get the mix of players, but you do need the magic of 21 to happen, which is everybody on the same cylinder, hitting the same, you know, pace and being on the same cycle.
And I know it just seems like a big ask that all of a sudden everybody, to your point, gets hitting and starts getting hot. Like all of a sudden Arcia gets hot, or, you know, Maddison goes on a tear. And then you can be what Philly was when they stole it from us last year, right? And let them win all those games. Let Philly win 106 games and not make it out of the NLDS, right? How about them apples? Best team doesn't always win. That's baseball. If they did, Bobby Cox would have 5 rings.
Boy, I tell you what, I kind of hope that happens with the Phillies.
Right.
Because their fans are like us last year. Oh, nobody's going to beat us. Okay.
They look good, man. You can't argue with it.
No, they do. Coming up, we react to the biggest deals we've seen at the quarterback position when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.